It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Matthew, the 6th chapter, Matthew chapter 6. We're going to begin reading with the 25th verse today, Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. We'll read to the end of the chapter. So please open your Bibles. Hope that you can do that. If you're traveling right now, we'll just listen carefully and you'll enjoy the study. And while you're looking that up, though, if you're able to, why, I'd like to share with you this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you would like to call us here at the church, it's 217-847-2717. If you'd like to visit our website, it's parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com, parkviewbiblechurch.org. I'm sorry, parkviewbiblechurch.org, www.parkviewbiblechurch.org will get you to the website. Our email address is parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com or parkviewbible@gmail.com. Either one will work just fine. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. And as we begin to read now with Matthew chapter 6, beginning to read with the 25th verse. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, for what ye shall eat, for what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. A joy to read the Word of God. Let's begin now with a precious word of prayer. Father, thank you, and I praise you for the power and the strength that you have given us. I thank you, Father, for the ability to read your precious Word. I thank you for the time to study your precious Word and ask that we just continue to enjoy and use that opportunity more and more to search your Word, to study your Word, to enjoy your Word. So please, dear Father, just guide and lead us. Bring those folks, Father, who do not know you as their Lord and Savior. Bring them today to you by the conviction of the Holy Spirit upon their hearts, showing them they're the sinner, lost and dying in their sin. Wages of sin is death, Father, we know that. The gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Father, your Son died on the cross to save everyone. But we must come. We must acknowledge our sin and then acknowledge your Son Jesus as our Savior. So please, dear Father, just guide and lead us now. Protect us each day, but bring us to salvation. once, Father. That's all we need. Just come once, and you keep us, and you seal us, Father. Thank you for all your power and all your strength. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, the joy of this study of Matthew. We begin with that 25th verse. And as we look at that, we need to understand that we should not be anxious. And yet that's something that is so common to us, to worry and to fret and to be anxious. It's just the fruit of unbelief. And unbelief is to insult God. God promises to supply our needs. And so let's look at a couple of verses of Scripture here that might help us a little bit. And we're going to look at Mark, the 11th chapter. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. It's very simple words. Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God. Trust in Him." What a joy. You know, he continues, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have not against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses." It is a decision and a point to be in fellowship, in constant fellowship with the Lord, knowing, desiring His will. And when you find His will by prayer, by study, then when you do pray, you will find wonderful, wonderful results. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. "But my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Now, it doesn't say wants, it says needs. And we should be content with needs. Mark chapter 16, verse 14. "Afterwards he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen." What a sad, sad statement there. And we know that Thomas, and of course he gets such a bad statement to him, but the biggest thing with Thomas was he wasn't there. None of them believed. And yet we still kind of title Thomas as Doubting Thomas. But none of them believed. We are to be busy. We are to be working in service to the Lord. And we can look up at 2 Thessalonians. Hope that you know your Bible and you can find these scripture verses. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat." When we come, and it tells us in that 25th verse, to take no thought of your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor for your body what ye shall put on. It doesn't mean that we are to be lazy. It doesn't mean that we are to be lazy. It means that we are to be busy about the Lord's work. And what a wonderful day it is to serve the Lord and to walk with the Lord. It doesn't mean that we should sit back and expect somebody else to give us what we need to sustain our lives. But it does mean we should not be anxious for it. If there's something out there in the world that we think we just have to have, and we become consumed by it, and we desire to have it with just all of our heart, may not be anything that's sinful, other than we desire it, desire to have that position or that product more than we desire to search the Word of God and to study the Word of God and come into the house of God. We would rather spend our time out in the world than we would with our God, and we become anxious about those things. We become so excited about those things, and yet we find ourselves that we're not hungering and thirsting after righteousness. So that's when it becomes a problem. And so that's the reason we read that verse back in 2 Thessalonians, is because understand that this welfare nonsense that we have today, if someone is in need, really, truly in need, then we are to be merciful. But if you're lazy and you refuse to work, then is when you just starve to death. You think, boy, that's some Christian attitude. God makes it really plain. He hates laziness. He hates those that don't get out and work. So, if you're choosing that avenue, God despises what you're doing. He hates what you're doing. We should be busy at work. Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 34. John 4, 34. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say, that ye might be saved. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. That's verse 33. Verse 34. I'm sorry, that's the reason it didn't make any sense. We're in chapter 5. I do that often. He was wondering. There we come. This is much better. Jesus said to them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and finish his work. There is work to be done, much work to be done. We're to be busy about doing his work. We find ourselves so busy with the things of this life that we have no time to take care of the things of God. God will hold us responsible for that. You can condemn and criticize a person all you want to for saying you need to be in service, you need to be working for the Lord. But there will be a day that you'll agree with that thought. Please turn your Bibles to Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 through 13. Philippians 4, beginning to read with the 11th verse. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therefore be to be therewith to be content. What wonderful words Paul is saying. I'm not in need of something. The folks are bringing this. Let me back up a little bit further in verse 10. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were all so careful, but ye lacked opportunity. They wanted to bring something to Paul. They wanted to help him. And that's wonderful. But he says, not that I speak in respect of want. The Lord has supplied my needs, but I really thank you for desiring to help. And as soon as you had opportunity, you did. For I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. What wonderful words. Paul barely had a place to lay his head. The love of the folks gave him that from time to time. Paul was a tent maker, and he worked, and he preached the gospel. And he also worked enough and made enough extra that he could help those that didn't have. But it wasn't because they were lazy. It was because they were busy with the work of the Lord, and they didn't have the trade that Paul did. Paul had an opportunity. And also many times, when a person became a born-again believer, trusted by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, knew that day that they were saved, when that time came, many times they would lose their job. Many times they would be thrown out of their family. They would have no home, no work, no nothing. And so with that, then there was much need, and Paul was able to help, because sometimes there was no work to be found. It wasn't because they were lazy, but it because there was no work to be found. Look at Paul's attitude in verse chapter 1, verse 21, 1:21 of Philippians. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That was his desire, to serve the Lord, to walk with the Lord, to enjoy that time of wonderful, wonderful fellowship. Back to Matthew chapter 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, for what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, for what ye shall put on. It is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment. Trust in the Lord Jesus. Walk with the Lord Jesus. Serve the Lord Jesus. And he will care for you. Verse 26, he gives us an example. Behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are ye not better than they? He takes care of the birds. They don't build a barn and store up what they need. The Lord cares for them, and the Lord feeds them. Jesus is telling of his and his Father's tender care over all of his creatures. Born-again believers are joint heirs of God with Christ and in Christ. He is our Father. How much greater will he care for us? Verse 27, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? That could mean and represent longer life. Not necessarily to put another inch taller or something like that, but either way it's impossible. It's impossible. James chapter 4. Hebrew, then James, chapter 4, verses 13 through 15. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes it away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boasting. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. That 15th and 16th verse. For what ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live, and we will do this and do that. But now ye rejoice in your boasting, your pride. That's wicked. That's evil. God has no respect for that. None whatsoever. Matthew 16:26. Matthew chapter 16, 26th verse. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Now this is talking to born-again people, born-again believers, folks that have come by faith to Jesus. There will be a reward, but there must be works. Must be time to enjoy the service of the Lord, laboring for him. Words kind of continue here. Again, who could gain one cubit? Or why take ye thought for raiment? Verse 28. We're back to Matthew 6, I'm sorry. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these, was not so beautiful. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? That scripture verse here in verse 30, cast into the oven. In this time, they didn't have a beautiful kitchen like most today. They certainly didn't have a microwave. They didn't have an electric or a gas range. But what they would have or did have, they would dig out in this, usually use the clay, and they would dig a little cavern, little hole in there, and they would lay it in a floor of bricks. And then they would start a fire in that. And most of the time, they didn't cut a tree down. They would use the grass, the dried grass from the field. And they would heat these stones, these bricks, and then they would clear the ashes out, and then they would lay the dough in there for the bread, and it would bake the bread, or it would cook whatever meal that they were preparing. Much different than today. So when it talks about here that it would put it into the oven, verse 30, wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, that's exactly what they did. It would wither away so quickly. And as it would dry up, they wouldn't just let it out in the field. They would gather it up, bring it in, and put it in the oven for their fuel. That was their fuel. There was many different types and styles, but that was the basic principle. And so when it talked about throwing it in the oven, that's what they did. They would put it in the oven so that they could cook their food. And so God's point is, and yet I say unto you that even in Solomon all his glory was not arrayed like one of these, one of those beautiful lilies. And then here, wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, makes it beautiful, I love to watch it as the wind casts it back and forth, but it doesn't last long. And then when it dies, they gather it up, throw it in the oven. And so the point is here, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? He clothed the fields. He's given us those beautiful, beautiful flowers. And yet, the only purpose of the grass is to be thrown into the oven for heat, for fuel. How much more important are you? How much more will I take care of you? So please, please, do not be anxious. Do not be anxious. Verse 31. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. The Lord knows what we need. God the Father knows what we need. So why are you fretting? Work. Work serving the Lord. Work at your job and do the best job you can do and bring home a paycheck so that you can feed your family and take care of your family. But please, do not fret and worry. Trust in the Lord. Walk with Him each day. Know that He's going to take care of you. What a joy it is to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the only way that you and I cannot be anxious is if we do something, and it's told us in verse 33. I always love that. Jesus was 33 when He was crucified upon the cross and died for me. And it tells us, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Isn't it wonderful? If we seek the will of God, if we look to Him, if we depend upon Him each day, walk with Him, seek His will, study His word, all the rest of these things will come, including the wisdom, understanding and patience, and all those things are gifts that are given to us. It's fruit that comes from us when we depend upon Him. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We'll look at that next time, just a few minutes before we go on to the next chapter. My dear friend, What are you going to do about Jesus?